Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Sex Talk with John T. Searle and a full studio of token angry feminists.
Yes!
Comedians.
Hot lesbians.
Lesbians, pervs, straights. We're covering every base we can today. No, not quite, but we're close.
Actually, there's a bunch of women in John T.
So we're covering all the bases, which is pretty cool. Tamara, it's so cool to have you back.
Oh, guys, I missed you so much.
And you're looking really beautiful.
Thank you, my angel. Thank you so much. I missed you. I really, really missed you. So glad to be back.
Absolutely. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning, John T. Good morning, everybody out there.
Good morning, Anastasia.
Good morning. I was going to say what's good about it, but I resisted the temptation.
She's already angry.
There is so much that's beautiful in the world today. Claudine.
Jay Fizzle.
And?
Have you ever been called Jay Fizzle?
I have not.
I feel like that is your...
He's been called Faye Jizzle.
That's bad.
Yeah, so Anastasia and Claudine are sharing toys today.
We are.
Ooh.
There we go.
Just sanitize them when you're done, ladies, please.
And I'm close enough.
And our very cool guest, Dr. T. Dr. T, you've got to put your mouth like really close to this, like you're going to do something obscene to it.
I may just.
Okay, you're so more than welcome. Absolutely. And that's so cool. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
Tell us who you are, quickly.
I'm a GP in private practice,
yes.
And I work with clients with sexual or reproductive health related matters. And and I'm a sex toy advocate.
Cool. Oh my God, I'm a sex toy. One.
Cool. So I got a very interesting sex.
Tamar is a sex toy. I just said that online.
I'll take you home.
I got a very interesting sex toy question this week, which really made me laugh. What do you do with old sex toys? You know, there's this whole thing about when you're going to throw a computer
recycle
away. What do you do with old sex toys? And I have to tell you, my first response was very un-PC, but fuck, did it make me laugh.
Well, I actually have an idea about that.
Donate them to an old people's home.
Oh
no, nonsense. You pop them in a box, you post them to America, and they turn them into Donald Trump.
Oh, that is so good.
Burn,
like, baby, burn.
So, this is actually going to be sort of quite a serious show, but I don't think we got much chance of that.
No, and also, why serious?
Absolutely.
You brought a comedian in.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I'm stressing here. The moment he said serious.
So, let us start with this.
Ninja sex.
Chocolate starfish.
Twitter bang.
Calipagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is...
unicorn. We said last week it was going to be a unicorn.
Dirty dictionary word.
So, Dr. T, they told us you were smart. Let's put you on the spot.
Really?
What's a unicorn? Yeah, was somebody just hyping you up because they wanted me to invite
Who's that?
You.
Anastasia lies sometimes, sorry.
Why are you looking at me
really?
Like that?
Yeah.
It was actually Elma. So any issues, take them up with her.
Listen, your reputation precedes you, my friend.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely. So, unicorn. Any idea what a unicorn is?
You know what? This world is so messed up. I think we can all be unicorns, actually.
Okay. Claudine?
I would think that it is... a dildo on your forehead.
Well,
having sex with a dildo on your forehead.
Somebody was actually supposed to bring one so we could do a sex position with that, but somebody didn't. And somebody didn't do something else either they were supposed to do this week.
I posted the photo.
Where?
On Monday.
Where? On where?
On Twitter.
We'll show you.
I never saw it.
We'll show you.
Did you tag us? You.
Yes, I did.
I never saw it.
Tamar, did you see it?
Yes, yes.
Tamar saw it.
I never saw this. Okay. So.
That's because you hide Lisa from your feed. That's okay. Just I'll show you how to unblock her. It's just
unicorn.
Yeah, it's not fair for me to answer that one because I think I suggested the word, so I'm going to pass.
Aha.
Any clues?
I was going to go if it's a lesbian with a strap on a nose running around.
Okay. So that's kind of where we're going.
Unicorn was actually just a very, very naive term for me. When I was a child, it was my favorite thing. And I want to say that if there's something beautiful in me, that's the idea of unicorn. So I don't want to know.
Okay.
Don't want to know.
So as an adult, unicorn is still your favorite thing.
Yes. Well, see.
So please.
I like imagination, clearly.
Call or message us what you think a unicorn is and join our conversation on
0861-555-189. Send us a message to screen on WeChat or join in the conversation on Twitter at sextalk_CliffC.
Yeah. So this show was suggested by one of our listeners who sent a really interesting email saying, why don't we talk about menopause? And that was pretty cool. And since then, there have actually been quite a few emails and questions coming in during the week to me. And most of them have been about yoni dryness more than anything else and lack of lubrication. So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk a little bit about some of the symptoms of menopause, what you can do about it, and then the conscious sexuality and tantric ideas around that, the role the G-spot actually plays in hormones, and why G-spot massage becomes so important. And at 10:30, Claudine is going to tell us all sorts of really interesting and funny things.
Maybe about the G-spot.
Maybe.
Vaginal dryness.
Or not. Or just to kind of make the air a bit thinner. Yeah.
Okay. What happens with vaginal dryness? Where does that come from?
Look, menopause has to be understood as part of the bigger functioning of a woman's body.
So let's put it in context.
Yeah. So what happens with young women, young girls, when they go through puberty, or a person with ovaries for that matter, when you go through puberty, you've got the surge in estrogen that's coming from your ovaries. And that is then the result of the plumpness, you know, the hips sort of stick out a bit more, the breasts start to develop, there's that glow in the skin, and the hair is beautiful and long, and you know, you get that perfect picture of a gorgeous young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you then go into womanhood and you start having children, and probably around the ages of 35 to 45, that's when a lot of people are having children, and then you start to slow down, and naturally the body slows itself down. Yeah. So you will go into menopause. It's not something that you can switch on and off. It naturally happens. And once you've transitioned into menopause, usually around the age of 50 to 55, your ovaries stop producing the estrogen, which is the hormone that's important to give you vaginal moisture or wetness. Mm-hmm. When you get aroused, your skin stops looking, you know, supple. It looks quite dry and sallow, and then you can see the wrinkles more because that fat isn't there and it isn't supported by estrogen. Your collagen becomes lax, so the boobs start to sag, the bottoms sag as well. Even the labia and the vagina itself, you can see it can start to look a bit shriveled and, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's why they that's why they say fat don't crack.
You see.
So I'm happy. Yeah. I'm a little bit overweight. No wrinkles for this one, baby.
Okay.
Yeah, so menopause is that natural state where your ovaries stop producing, you know, the estrogen in high enough quantities for it to have the same effect. Mm. They still is a little bit of estrogen, but not enough. So when anyone starts having the hot flushes, you know, they can't sleep at well, poor memory, quite teary or emotional, your periods stops, you know, it skips a few months, sometimes a few years, and it returns. All of those things are symptoms to suggest that you're going through menopause. Mm. But at the end of the day, you have to get your medical examiner to look at you, do some blood tests, you know, do you like your regular pap smears to make sure that there isn't nothing else serious that we miss, and then we can say you're going through menopause.
Yeah. See, Anastasia keeps on offering everybody here pap smears, but nobody's taken her up on it
yet. I'm still waiting.
Jeez.
Honey, we had a speculum in here a couple of weeks ago, and yeah. I remember who chickened out, and it wasn't me. Yeah. All right.
You don't have enough lube.
Cervical health is important. You must not neglect it.
I have a question about that. Mm. So I haven't been to my gynae in... thank you. Much better. I haven't been to my gynae in about 3 years.
Okay, so we can help with that. Yes. It's just... on the couch, we have some gloves, we have lube, we have
spit. Yeah. Let's not get excited.
Doctors here.
Let's not get excited. All I'm saying is, how often do women who are sexually active need to go for pap smears?
We say annually, okay? But there are people in communities where they don't have access to, you know, a clinic or, you know, stuff is out of stock or whatever. So no one must, you know, panic if the year goes past. But in the younger age group with someone who isn't having unprotected sex, who isn't, perhaps had early sex, all of those things determine your risk for cervical cancer. So you can sometimes say every 2 years, but I think generally it's just accepted that we say every year have your pap smear together with your HIV test, together with your general medical checkup. Just make it one thing, you know, your screening for diabetes.
And you get 2,500 discovery points.
Okay,
just
so
saying.
Exactly. Yes. So when you make your appointment this week,
I'll film it.
That's it, just let us know so we can film it, or we'll come along and periscope it or whatever.
For
it
your
might
anal
be.
Report
with pleasure. I can't wait. That's
yeah, it. All you need is a doctor with a GoPro and to sort it.
My gynae is like 180 years old, and he's always like, open wide.
Yeah, well, you see, that's your problem. You go into the room.
Yeah, but she loves that because he's got all these
shaky, shaky, shaky. And then Claudine.
Like, let's just check your clit now. And it's like all over your clit. And there we go.
And then you, Claudine, the other wrinkles of the ladies with a bit of weight called satellite comes out. Mm.
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah, so I wanted just to tell you about that, that we have other wrinkles.
Yeah. So what happens to sex drive when menopause starts with a woman?
It can go down. And I think it's actually quite an important discussion that we're having because a lot of women will only consult because the sex is a problem.
Yeah.
And then you find out that they're actually going through menopause. Mm. So your libido goes down. So your desire for sex. The sex itself may become frustrating because you feel that you now want to have sex, but you're very dry. So there's like a disconnect between what your genitals are doing and what your brain says you should be doing. And that can be very frustrating.
Okay. Now, how much of that is actually social conditioning in that we have an expectation, and for a lot of women, there's a belief that when I hit a certain age, at certain areas of my life, I stop having sex or I stop becoming sexual.
Yeah.
So how much of it is actually social conditioning?
A lot of it, because moms talk to their daughters, friends chat to each other. You know, we all like comparing notes, especially for the bedroom.
Yeah.
And some of us exaggerate more than we should. And that's what happens. So you start, harboring other people's fears or misunderstandings or myths, and then you make it your own story, as opposed to saying, look, I don't understand what's going on with my body. Just explain to me. And then you go through with that. There's so many options. There's absolutely no reason why a woman now should be having painful, dry, unfulfilling sex. Like, there's no reason. There are so many options out there. So if it's menopause related, I think don't like stick to the story, because some of us like the headache. Oh, I have a headache.
Yes.
Like, just so now we use menopause. No, it's menopause. So a lot of us, you know, get hung up on that excuse, but actually, you know, it's not necessarily that menopause makes you completely not have a sex life.
Dr. T is actually touching on a very important point there, because it's easy for us to talk about menopause and kind of understand it or view it just strictly through like a biological medical lens, like it's a drop in hormone levels, it's the body aging. But what's really important to understand is that, as with a lot of conditions that people encounter, specifically in medicine and healthcare, it's something that you should understand within a context that is biopsychosocial. So it means there's a biological component to it. There's the drop in the hormones and the effects on the tissues in the body. There's a psychological component, because as those levels start to fluctuate, it affects how the individual feels. It affects the mood, it affects their sense of self, it affects their body image, a lot of different things. And there's a social context that surrounds it, because it will affect that person's interactions, it will affect their relationships, it affects a lot of things. So to understand it just as a biological phenomenon, you're actually ignoring a very large component of what that individual is going through. And if you neglect that, you can throw as much hormones and estrogen cream and lubricant at the problem as you want, but you're not treating it comprehensively.
Yeah, and that's what we're very much about, is how we do that. So one of the principles of conscious sexuality in some of the Taoist and tantric practices are very much about keeping sexual energy alive in the body and understanding the differences. So it definitely starts changing through different cycles in our lives. And one of the interesting things, and medical science is still a little bit behind in this, in fact, to be blunt, a fucking long way behind, is the role of the G-spot in all of this. And women who have regular G-spot massage, and we're not just talking about a sexual experience or a pleasure experience, it's actually working with the G-spot directly, have enormous impact on keeping sexual energy functioning in the body and keeping this moving, understanding the differences in your sexual response, but so important in the functioning of a fully integrated sexual being on all levels, because that's where you start to actually integrate the mind and the body and the heart and the spirit.
So people aren't masturbating enough?
Well, definitely not. And that is actually, I think, an actual fantastic lead into where we're going next week. So next week we are all going to be wankers.
Ooh, yay. Lovely.
So I think sounds that's like our fun topic for next week.
I don't know what I'll be wanking.
You say that as
okay
if it's out of the ordinary.
Well, no, it's
do
not.
Do some case studies.
Yeah. Yeah, personal case histories. So we did let Sia Sangweni Finn off the hook this week because of the topic. Next week, when we get into self-pleasuring, his skinny little butt will be on a chair in the studio.
Wow, Sia is giving us the side eye.
He is. He's giving us the dirty looks. He's giving everything he possibly can.
I heard in the studio and I heard in the station that he's becoming more and more friendly. He's giving massages to everybody. Yeah. I think he's opening up.
G-spot massages.
I don't know.
Wow.
Well, it might be a little bit more around prostate
people
massage.
People are very close around here. People don't know that.
Very close.
Which, while we're getting into the idea of prostate, let's look at, do men go through a menopausal cycle?
No.
Yes they do.
Of course they do.
Why do you think it's called menopause?
Yeah, they definitely do. And more now people are writing about it as a recognized medical phenomenon or phase in a person's life. And indeed it does. And I think what has made it less known about is because patriarchy men, they want to, you know, masculinity. It's they don't want to acknowledge their weakness. And, you know, if there's anything wrong in their sex life, it's the wife. So the men always bring their wives and say, there's something wrong with their sex life, it's her. So
yeah, fertility as well, right?
Exactly.
It's never the swimmers. No.
And like, just a side...
It's always the swimmers. Like 99% is the swimmers.
So yeah, and then you do a sperm count and there's like, there's like nothing in
it's
there.
It's like those sperm are beyond even even life support. It's too late.
Exactly.
We now know what to do to get Anastasia to jump out of her shell. Just bring in someone from in studio that she knows. This is the most I've ever heard you talking, Anastasia.
And that's absolute nonsense. But I warned you guys, today it's the feminist uprising. We are taking over sex talk.
Yeah. So what are the symptoms that a man would experience?
Also the same, low libido, decreased sex drive. And men, I think there's this thing that they always want to have sex. Mm. So depending on how the guy has always been, you know, use that as your yardstick. Don't compare yourself to other people.
Yeah.
If some erectile dysfunction, so you may either have a very poor erection or it's very short-lived. So after penetration, you know, things go a little bit limp, and that's very frustrating as well. That disconnect between the genitals and the brain. And of course, premature ejaculation. So, is a big thing.
So this is where different levels of sex education become so important in understanding the changes and also giving us options and possibilities of how we can do sex and sensuality differently.
Yeah, and I mean, you'll find with some people that only then they come and then they realize that they haven't even been having the best sex ever. And then suddenly they actually start in their older age having the best sex they've ever had with all of this stuff going on, like menopause and androgen pause, and then they rediscover their bodies, they reconnect as a couple, their relationship thrives, you know, like they may see someone like you, Jonty.
Yeah, and that's beautiful, because on workshops,
yes,
when we have older people or older people who are coming to learn stuff with me, it is the most beautiful and wonderful thing, because so many of the inhibitions have dropped away. You've kind
people
of
don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah, you've seen yourselves through so many different life events, through so many different phases. The body image disappears because we're just what we are. We are never going to be any different, and we can actually really get into enjoying that.
True that.
And that is so, it's such a beautiful thing. I'll tell you a story about a couple who came on a massage workshop a while ago. In their late 60s, early 70s, and they really moaned and groaned through this because it was physical and it was a little bit difficult for them, but it was the most awesome experience that they have had. They've never done anything like this before. A couple of weeks after that, they went away with some friends, a couple that they've been best friends with for years. You know, they brought up their kids together, one of those kind of relationships. She phones me a couple of days after the weekend. Oh, you don't know what we did. We had sex with them.
I can't believe this. Wow. Think of all the years they wasted.
Yeah, and they were never going to do it again, but they had this amazing experience. And all it did was allow them to drop some inhibitions and beliefs and limitations and go beyond their boundaries.
Love it.
And it
love
was
it.
Such a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And so many people are, so many older people are rediscovering this wonderful sex life. Yeah. And I've said all along that we are sexual and sensual beings from the moment we're born until the moment we die.
From before we're born, don't you? Yeah. It's been shown now that, boys are having erections in the uterus.
And that's I've seen ultrasound video clips of babies masturbating.
Exactly. So and I can tell, I mean, I have a boy, right? And he's just turned one. Mm. And he is obsessed with his penis. Mm. You take that nappy off, the first thing he does, he grabs with both hands. He grabs his thing and he yanks it up and down. And, you know, sometimes I'm thinking, that has to be so, you know. But for him, that's all he does. It just plays around with the thing.
Jonty says it's comforting. It's a very comforting thing.
Yeah, it's not exactly sexual. It's just this comfort. That's all.
And it's there. I mean, geez, if I had a thing dangling there, I'd probably be yanking at it all day too. So, like, I understand.
Well, you're more than welcome to enjoy yourself in any way that you like.
All these, you know, you sound like still there. He's still there. All these nerve endings has to do something good, you know.
Thing. Exactly. And the beauty of having sex post-menopause is that the fear of getting pregnant is gone. And people don't realize how hectic that is in some people's minds. Like, they can't enjoy sex because, oh my gosh, what if the condom bursts? What if the contraceptive fails? And, you know, I see clients who come in and they say, I have been taking the pill and I have been doing everything right and I'm still pregnant, you know? And some of them, it can scar them for life. And then every time they're having sex, they think, oh my gosh, could there be an oops later? So they really don't allow themselves, you know, to relax and be in the moment. So the fear of pregnancy, it does something to how people enjoy sex.
Now, an interesting thing. Early menopause is becoming wider and wider. It's becoming much more prevalent. What is causing that?
What do you mean by early menopause? So women who are going into menopause sooner?
Younger.
Yes, younger.
Well, in addition to that happening, we also know that people are entering their reproductive capacity a lot sooner.
Yes.
If you look at the trends over time, you'll find that menarche, which is what we refer to as kind of the onset of menses, menstruation in someone who has a uterus and ovaries, is occurring earlier and earlier. And there's a couple of theories flying around regarding as to why that is, if it's an evolutionary thing, if it's something that's environmental, is it nature versus nurture? And the predominant idea is that it's probably something that's multifactorial, but development is becoming precocious, more and more precocious. So if you actually look at that time frame that someone spends in their reproductive capacity, that time that hormones are functioning and everything, it tends to stay relatively static. It's not as though your reproductive capacity is diminishing from, you know, 40 years to 35 years or 30 years. It's not really like that. But if you start sooner, you're going to finish sooner. Mm. And that's something that we absolutely can't neglect.
And I mean, your body just can only do so much, hey, for so long. So like Anastasia's explaining, the earlier you start, the earlier you'll probably stop. And people talk about the hormones that, you know, people put in our food, our beef, our chicken now. We don't even know what chicken we're eating these days.
Even the plastic bottles that we're drinking water out of right now are full of estrogen.
Yeah.
Exactly. So all of that has a big influence on how our bodies are. And, you know, things like cancers, for example, you know, on another show, another day. But all of these things have been shown that what we're consuming, you know, people used to plant their own food. And it was almost like organic, but that's just how it was because everyone planted their own food. Now a lot of the things are packaged in plastic. You know, everything goes through like 2 months of production before it comes to your table. So there are other, you know,
so many factors.
Yeah.
So it really puts our sexuality in the fullness of the context of life.
But isn't that the way to understand sexuality?
You cannot, absolutely.
You cannot separate it from that contextual position that it occupies. Mm. It's not like you've got a life and then you've got a sex life and the two are unrelated. Mm. You have to understand one within the context of the other. And, you know, like we've just discussed, we are sexual beings by nature, and it's part of what we do and the way that we live. And unless we understand it in that context, then we can't ever appreciate it fully.
Mm. There's a great TED talk that talks about the amount of times people have sex per reproduction. And the point of the talk was to show that our sexuality is so much more about pleasure and connection and intimacy than pure reproduction compared to animals, for example. And the number that this guy gives in the talk, and I cannot remember who it was, that the amount of times that an animal needs to have sex to reproduce is actually really small. Any idea of the number given for humans, the amount of sexual experiences per birth? Pick a number.
I have no idea.
I'd say about eight.
Eight. Pick a number.
I'd say one.
Anastasia?
Yeah, I'm going to say 125.3.
Okay. Ooh, Lisa?
What? I was going to go with six.
Six?
Seven.
1,000.
Oh, what? My.
So you're, we are completely off.
Makes sense.
So Anastasia's the closest.
Yeah,
or she just likes six.
1,000 sexual experiences.
The asexual in the studio.
Per human birth.
But they also say it's that animal sex, like lions and felines, it actually hurts. It hurts the female. So that's why it's like 2 seconds in and out, not really for pleasure. And you'll see the lions mate and then they walk away and then they mate again. And
I was in a certain kind of type of monkey's farm, and the baboons apparently have it about 75 times a day. But also, if an animal doesn't know that it's, you know, anything better for them, sex is painful and it's fine, but it's something that they want to do.
Yeah.
That's the psychology behind it.
And then you get the bonobos who actually solve conflict in their tribe through sex and masturbation.
So are we.
Yeah.
Sometimes so are we.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people remember, and I've mentioned, I think we were discussing this off air before, but when people my age were growing up, the sort of rumor that went around, the Bobomeiser, if you want to be Yiddish about it, was that humans and dolphins are the only animals that have sex for recreational purposes. And actually, as time has gone by and more studies have been done, scientists have got better at what they do, they've found a hell of a lot more animal species that are actually engaging in sexual behavior for social reasons or for pleasure, as opposed to just for reproduction.
Yeah.
And not only that, but they're also engaging in non-heterosexual encounters at the same time. I know, shock and horror, right? So that whole argument that sex is purely for reproduction and that's how nature intended it is bullshit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. You can have sex with whoever you want. Doesn't matter what their gender is, what your gender is, if you're trying to get pregnant or not. Mm. It's valid. You're allowed to. Mother Nature wanted you to enjoy that experience.
I wish just what Cassandra monkeys. And I were doing it wrong, because I haven't been able to make her pregnant yet.
Yeah.
Honey, are you scissoring at the right angle?
I think
we're trying.
Don't close your eyes.
I think between all of us here, we can kind of help you a little bit, some advice. And instead of going to buy all the vibes and lubes and stuff, maybe go buy a turkey baster.
Yeah, large
find
gauge.
A donor.
No. I do not need a turkey baster anymore, because they have now developed a strap on insemination dildo. So you can just inseminate the sperm into the dildo and Bob's your uncle.
Okay.
Have not tried that yet. Just FYI.
Please, we need a review.
We will periscope it.
So even though we are not having a real sex story, let's just play this because it's really cool. And then Claudine is going to do her thing.
No pressure.
You can watch porn, or you can just listen to the real sex stories.
Okay, so before I start doing any sort of comedy, I want this to kind of be a discussion, if that's okay. And especially because there's so many ladies in the room. So, ladies, I want to know how you like your vagina.
I like it very much.
Yes, I know. I'm also in love with my vagina. I'm just saying how you want it to be referred to in sex, if that makes sense.
The words.
Like, does it turn you on when someone goes, oh, I want to taste your cookie?
Mm.
Or is it, oh, I can't wait to see your pussy? Does that turn you on, or is that...
And I find it ridiculous.
Dare we say
do
the
you
C
find
word?
It ridiculous?
I find it ridiculous. I find it somebody like, let me touch your pussy or your cookie. Shut the fuck up. Just do it.
Okay. So this is what I got.
Okay.
Okay. About to go down on me, and he says, oh, I can't wait to taste your pish flaps. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Unfortunately, I've got to be up really early in the morning. I think you need to leave.
Wow. And never come back.
Never come back. Please. Guys have no idea. And I always like to joke about how clueless some pish men are. Flaps. I mean, pish flaps. Have you ever...
Maybe he meant fish cakes.
No. Pish flaps, that is what came out of his mouth. I even gave him like a, sorry, what? Excuse me, because I couldn't believe it came out. Then there's other words that
Jewish,
I've been looking
obviously.
Up.
Jewish, obviously.
Well, we're not 100% certain, but pish flaps sound like it. Clunge.
What?
Clunge.
What does it mean?
Where do
sorry.
They get these things?
Clunge sounds like... a torture device from the Middle Ages.
Yes.
Executioner, oh, wow. Bring the clunge into the room.
Like a plumbing tool.
Or a plumbing tool. If somebody wow. called my vagina a clunge.
No, then it's over.
Or food.
Not possible.
Food.
Yeah.
Here is another one. Beef flaps. No. Oh, beef no. curtains.
No.
Beef oh. curtains.
Okay. Where do you get it from, and what's wrong with those people, and how can we kill them today?
Well,
how can we help them?
How can we help them? You know, there's... So, men have no idea, and the way I think, or where they think, I think they're getting it from is porn.
Mm-hmm.
Porn.
Absolutely.
Guys
absolutely.
Are getting it
old
from
age
porn.
Old age porn? Old age home porn.
I don't know.
Your flappy little thing
with
is...
With pish flaps. It could be from old age homes. Yes. But, you know, I really do believe that especially white men have no idea. And I always joke
no,
about
men.
This.
Men.
No, let me tell you, I love my black brothers. Can there I tell go. You why? I love my black brothers.
There we go. She likes herself.
Because my black brothers love me. Okay. And the way I know that they love me is they walk past me and they say, yo, yo, yo. Upagile.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. Which means she is stacked. She is stacked, baby.
Do you think they're talking about your vagina?
Well, I don't know. They can't see my vagina.
No, they can't. I hope not. Unless you have a camel curves. Toe.
Well, that's actually quite scary because I was playing I've Never with my boyfriend last night. And I said, would you rather I had a really large penis or really large labia down to my knees?
Hmm.
Wow. And he was like, and I was like, that is a brilliant I've Never. But he did say really large labia. But anyway.
Boyfriend, we hope you're not listening.
Yes, well, if you are listening, I may propose. Hello.
You
hello?
Can't elongate them, you know.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No, that sounds scary. With like those balls or?
No. Just ooh. With a nice sensual massage every
with,
evening.
Ooh. It's done with a clunge.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That sounds spring it.
Terrifying. So I always say that these guys don't know what they're getting. They're expecting tits that they can rest their beer on and an ass that's as firm as their PlayStation remote. But what they're getting in real life is tits that they can clean the floor with and an ass that looks like their jungle oats. That is what we look like. Okay. We have cellulite.
Yes.
Women in this room who have cellulite, please give me a hell yes.
Hell yes.
Thank you. We all bloody have it. And you know what? You got to love what you got. And I talk about this all the time. I spoke about this last time on the show, is loving what you got. This body didn't
she's
come easy.
She's touching herself, by the way. It's
I
really
am.
Beautiful. She's
I
touching
am.
Her boobs.
I am.
It feels good. It looks
this,
good.
This
she's getting ready for next like, week's show. She's kind of warming up.
Warming up for the masturbation.
But it's true. This didn't come easy. These flaps, These flaps are years of hard work.
Not B flaps.
They're not B flaps.
Yeah, not B flaps, not pish flaps. Those are the underarm flaps. Yes.
Underarm flaps.
All have.
By the way, I think they were meant for swimming. I think when it's to survive.
It's true.
When we swim.
It helps us. It helps us glide in water. But I mean, this is hard. You know, this is Cadbury's.
Cadbury's,
you know,
Cadbury's
have sponsored this. You know, McDonald's have sponsored this, and this. Hold on.
She's referring to her beautiful butt.
Oh, and give us a little bit of a twist,
Marika.
Dr. T, that was from...
Dr. T has become one with sex talk.
Yes, she has become one. Amen.
Well, it's really important because today is International Fetish Day.
Wow. But the truth is this tochus, tochus.
So for those of you who don't know, tochus is a Yiddish word for a butt.
For a butt. This butt... comes from Wacky Wednesday's 2-for-1 special. Okay? That's where it's from. And my thighs. I love my thighs. So you all know in this room that I'm actually an actress in real life. And it's my favorite thing to do, to go to the theater. I love going to theater.
Is it an actress or just to go to the theater?
Just to go to the theater. And I hold a glass of wine in this hand, a program in this hand, and I can still clap for the actors on stage. I still clap for them.
She clapped with her thighs.
I clap with my thighs.
Can we do a video of that? And
we
put
can.
It on the
We're going to put it up.
Okay.
And the truth is I bloody love my thighs so much, I wrote a slam poem about them. Do you want to hear my slam poem?
Yes, of course.
Absolutely. Okay, so then give me some clicks. Let's turn this into a slam poetry event.
Guys, you need to realize that these thighs are made up of pies and fries and KFC streetwise. I don't tell you no lies. No, in fact, I speak the truth. I have a message for the youth. A confession about my sweet tooth. Whether it's cook sisters or cake, I don't care if it's fried or baked, but I will not make the same mistake of ordering fries without a shake. So my curvy sisters, please delight in your right to wear your skirts real tight and eat carbs late at night. I may not have a thigh gap, but my legs are big enough to fit my lunch on my lap. I'm sick of all these magazines promoting all their skinny crap. So if you feel me, give me a thunderous thigh clap.
Thanks, guys.
You are my
awesome anthem.
Amazing news.
Wow, is it possible for us to detach the microphone so that you can drop it now?
Absolutely.
Drop
that's
the mic.
That's nice.
Absolutely. Wow.
So
Pish Flaps has left the building.
Pish Flaps is out.
And then she
orgasms.
That's
my gangster
and
name.
And then she orgasms.
And then she orgasms.
By the way, if you keep on doing that thigh, which I'm going to work on, that thigh clap thing, I think you can orgasm. Mm.
Really? Mm. Just from doing the thigh clap? Hold on, guys. Okay. I'll be back in 10 minutes. I'll let you know.
So, interesting thing then. Interesting question comes from that. How do orgasms change during and after menopause? Do they change? Orgasms. Get with the program now.
Stop
using the phone. Leave the phone alone. Do orgasms change during after menopause?
I think our mentality changes. The way we look at life changes.
Therefore, orgasms change.
They will change because they can be more intense, mm-hmm. A bit longer. Just because you have that spirit that says, you know, I'm sensual, I love myself, and you're exploring more, you know. And I think that's what's important. And you can have it even before menopause. You know, we don't have to wait to have all of this fun there.
So a lot of
they can.
So a lot of that kind of comes and is connected to this awakening of kind of the crone energy, the wise woman, more coming into that older woman power of more wisdom.
And power dynamics in relationships are very important. Mm-hmm. And especially in a country where there's a lot of people who put a lot of emphasis on cultural or religious stuff, you know. And if you're a woman who is in a relationship where you can't take your partner's hand and put it in your pussy and say, this is where you rub, like, how are you then going to have it? How are you going to have an orgasm, you know, with your partner if that's what you can have it on your own? But sometimes you want that intimacy of having things with their partner and feeling it.
Mm.
So power dynamics are very important. But the older woman, the wiser woman, more authoritative woman, I suppose.
Yeah.
A woman who simply just says, you know what, take me as I am. Some people get divorced when they hit 50, 55 and they have a new partner and they sort of leave all that other baggage and they carry on. And so it depends how important sex is to you. Sometimes that's why people get divorced, because the sex is bad. Everything else is great, but the sex is bad. And the one feels that I can't do this anymore. So that time, you know, in our lives gives us an opportunity to reflect and say, are we still doing this? If we are, can we renegotiate maybe new things, new ideas, new rules?
Yeah. And we need the tools to keep doing that, to keep reinventing our relationship and to keep reinventing ourselves in that. Yeah. And that goes back to education that we need for life.
And it has to start early, hey? Because a lot of the people will come with a sexual dysfunction or a problem or a perceived problem. Meanwhile, they're going through something absolutely normal. Yeah. And I hate the way that a woman's body is always pathologized.
Yeah.
So you have your first period, you know, it's a problem.
Yes.
You do it.
Pregnancy feels like a problem.
Exactly. You know, you get pregnant, then people want to know, is it your first? Is it your second? Who's the father? Mm. And you're thinking, excuse me? Like, you know? So there's a lot of that women have to constantly be dealing with when it comes to our bodies, our sexualities, and just the normal functioning that has been made to seem bad or as if it's a pathology. And so much of my time is spent just educating women on the basics of what your body can do, how amazing it is, and why certain things happen at a certain time. You know, imagine if you had progesterone throughout your cycle or testosterone throughout. You know, there's a reason why things must flow and come up and down. And once they appreciate that, it just opens something else in their minds and their bodies.
Yeah, two things come to me from that. The first one is the expectation that we are always going to be the same and our relationships are always going to be the same, and they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the second thing is that I love it beyond the problems. When people find me and say, we've got a problem, can we come see you? Beyond that, when young people want to come to a workshop or young people want to come and learn stuff, it is so exciting, because that's like preventive medicine.
That's the best.
That when you learn this, so many of the problems that other people experience are not going to be part of your life, because you're going to learn how to deal with them.
Yeah.
You have the tools, and they won't even be there in the first place when we learn that.
And, you know, safe sex is a very important thing. Mm. And people think if you teach young kids about safe sex, about, you know, their rights around consent and things like that, you're teaching them how to have sex. And that's a different thing altogether, you know. And we need people like you who can take couples or individuals in that space that's very intimate for them if they want to, you know. But there is so much that people are blunting off, you know, about their sexuality, their expression, because they don't want to feel judged or, you know. But I think if you just allowed people to just be naturally themselves, you know, and not put so much pressure on each other in terms of how many rounds can you do in one night? Can you squirt? Like, you know, some people can never do it.
Change the emphasis to pleasure.
Exactly.
And one of my biggest things when I'm asked by parents, how do you talk to your kids about sex? And one of the biggest things is teaching them to put it in a context for a child or for a young person. Put it in an emotional context that your body might be ready to have sex. The rest of you might not be.
And go through the whole thing that, yes, we do have sex for pleasure. But if you do have sex without contraception, you will make a baby. So go through, you know, it's not scaring them, but you also need to give them the whole picture. So you can't cherry pick what you tell them and what you don't tell them. Age appropriate. Some kids are more inquisitive than others early on, and they will start asking you questions. And if you don't know, just say, I don't know, let's go find out together.
Let's find out.
That's the best way to actually do it.
And let's have a platform where we can find out openly and honestly, without judgment. Because to think that your children are not going to explore firstly their own bodies and somebody else's bodies is the most absurd idea that you can have. So rather give them the tools to do that and teach them safe sex techniques, like expanded orgasm.
Yeah.
One of the most amazing safe sex techniques, because there's no penetration.
Yep.
There's no oral. Give them possibilities. Give them options instead of just saying no.
We are so conditioned.
Because so many people, particularly in education and in religious education, say the more you talk to them about sex, the more they're going to have sex.
Nope.
The simple truth is, and every study that's been done supports this, the more information that they have, the less they're actually going to go and have sex and the more responsible they will be.
Yeah, and that delays their actually first sexual debut.
Yes.
And then they're armed with information. When that peer pressure comes, that the external pressure, they've got the language, they've got the words, they know from within why that's not okay for them to do for now.
Yeah.
But if you just, you know, driving it with fear or lack of understanding or misinformation, then when they hear from their peers whatever they're going to hear, then I think, although, but that's not what... that's not what mom said, you know, so it means she was lying. So they won't trust you anymore. So even if when they had some valid things to ask you or check in with you, they won't do it because they know that you're not trustworthy. But one of the couples that still stand out for me that I've helped is the newlywed, and they just didn't know what the clitoris was. They didn't know what an orgasm was. And it was so difficult for them to switch off that sex is bad. Don't do this. It's only for married couples. And they married. And then suddenly they're thinking, but why can't we do this? And I said, but it goes beyond that, you know?
It becomes like a huge psychological problem. Like I've got a friend who also, you know, she grew up in a really strict Greek home. And her whole life she had learned sex is bad. Mm-hmm. You know, don't have sex. Don't do it. And now that she's married and in a relationship, she's having to use, she's got like vaginismus.
Mm-hmm.
So she's having to use different size vibrators to try and
the
eventually
amount of
get
religious
to sex.
Women who have come to see me with that issue.
Yeah.
And this is from religion across the board. And a religious couple a while ago I was asked to consult with, who they actually didn't know if they'd actually had sex, a Jewish religious couple. They actually weren't sure if they'd had sex.
It can be very difficult to line up the hole in the sheet correctly, I'm told.
Yes.
It is.
And some people will be like, we're sleeping together, you know, and then I assume sleeping together is meaning we have, but they're like, we can't fall pregnant, we've been sleeping together for a year. And I'm not talking about something I read in a book. This is real life. And when you start to like ask, you know, then the questions, and you're thinking, okay, they meaning sleeping in the same bed together,
all.
Holding hands.
Now, there's this
they're not having sex.
There's
not
this cartoon of these two little kids, and they're standing there nude.
One on top of the other's head.
Yeah, and the boy's standing on top of the girl, and she said, so we got undressed, and I'm on top of you, and I'm getting a headache. Is this what it's supposed to be like?
When does it start feeling good?
Is it like the teacup with a spoon? When I drink my tea, it hurts my eyes. That's the same. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have to think about our sex position, girls. Yes, we do.
Okay.
So we have to do a little bit more than think about it. We have to get somewhere in a sex position
on a
periscope.
Not a problem.
Do you think you could do that?
I think
Claudine,
I can do
Claudine looks
that.
Like she's up to the challenge.
I think Claudine
she's
and me.
Ready now.
Yeah.
Claudine.
Yeah.
Claudine, I think we're going to do unicorn because somebody whispered in my ear, what's unicorn, and I'm traumatized.
So a unicorn
is
a woman.
Yes.
Who could be single and could be in a relationship and could be straight and could be bi, who plays in the swinging world on her own.
Oh, that's a lot more majestical and beautiful, I guess.
That's
what
a unicorn
than a dildo strapped to your head.
And it gets its name because a unicorn is a mythical beast that so many people long for and lust after, and it doesn't exist.
And, you know, in the swinging world, it actually does exist. So let's put a Periscope link out there. Where's the link going on?
So it's going to go out on Sex Talk. Sex Talk_CliffC.
Mm-hmm.
So just go over there and hopefully we can get the Cliff Central guys to retweet. They're all in a meeting, but we're going to try and do it out. Otherwise, just go to Sex Talk_CliffC and then I will also retweet it at Lisa the Lesbian and then, just go over there.
Okay, so we're going to imagine that there's a bunch of unicorns in the studio.
We don't have to imagine. Yeah. I think we...
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm a unicorn.
Okay, so we don't have a lot
of time. I only go one way.
So
no, but we have to because the tweet needs to go out. Okay. Then people are going to miss out. So
Dory's making arm movements, but I don't know if that was because of our tweet or not.
So a bisexual is obviously a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. All right, so Jonty's going to participate with me and Dr. T also going to participate. It's just an illustration.
Well, this is getting to an orgy.
Yeah, well, we have to prove that this is a unicorn.
Oh,
yes, it's an evidence-based program.
Okay.
So, of course, so we have so many doctors on board, I might get, crucified. So, Dr. T, basically, I'm going to prove that you are with me as a part of the scene. Uh-huh. John T, okay, so we're going to do this now. Guys, the rest, may God be with me.
Yeah, I'll be on standby in case anyone needs a doctor.
So.
All right,
Tamara's definitely the choreographer for this kind of... Okay, she knows what she's doing.
A bisexual woman needs to be close to another woman. Come close.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
All right, so it seems...
Role playing 101.
No. Yeah, it seems...
Are you good?
I'm good, right?
It seems that the sex position is actually just a convoluted scheme for Tamara to get into Dr. T's pants.
Yeah, there we go.
And I don't blame her.
But that's fine. Yes. That's fine.
Oh,
all right, they're now grinding up against each other.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, definitely. Okay. Grind against me harder. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My clunge is getting so wet.
My pitch flaps.
Okay. Your pitch flaps.
No, you sit there.
I'm
going to pretend to touch there, not going to really touch there, okay?
I'm just pretending to touch there.
Basically, what we're doing is trying to prove a point that there are unicorns in the world.
Okay.
Not saying that I'm one. Not yet.
No, we would never say
yeah,
that.
You've got
never,
us all fooled.
Never would we say that.
They embraced tenderly
nice,
as
nice
Tamara searched
work
for Dr. T's beef whistle. What's it called?
Beef curtains.
Beef curtains. She drew her beef curtains to the side while her pish flap was caressed.
We got ourselves
and then she orgasmed.
How a unicorn should perform.
Give it up to the unicorns! Woohoo! That was beautiful theatre, may I just say.
Okay.
Oscar-winning performances.
Oscar-winning
performances. Yes, this is what you guys get.
I'm sorry,
I'm also
but...
clapping with my thighs.
I'm sorry, but that cannot win any Oscars because there were two women and one was a person of colour. So that would never fly with Oscars.
Oh, of course.
I'm sorry.
No.
Or the Golden... Yeah. And what would Ricky Gervais say
about Golden Globe,
that?
Maybe.
I'll wait for 73 years for a Golden Globe.
Yeah, that's pretty much hard. Sorry, I had to get the dig in there. I am a token angry
I'm
feminist.
Still waiting for Walt Disney to have all those amazing colours, to put a little bit more colour in their movies. Mm-hmm. Hashtag... What's wrong with the world? But never mind.
They're apparently doing their first LGBT movie. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was called Frozen.
Millions of parents are now, what?
Honey, I'm telling you now, Elsa is a lesbian.
I know that too.
Just go and look up Rule 34 and go and, because you will find porn versions of every Disney movie ever made. You'll find porn versions of My Little Pony.
Stop sexualizing Elsa just because she's a lesbian.
Hashtag, I know for a fact Elsa is a lesbian. I'm not going to say why.
Yes.
I also know why.
Last night I tried to Google, never mind why. Warus.
What?
Sucking nipples. I tried. Never mind. It was a long story. Tried to prove a point. Everything you put in Google gets to a sexual content. Doesn't matter. I just write walrus. It was already weird positions of sucking stuff.
Yeah. Walrus.
Walrus. Sorry. Yes, like a sea. Like,
yeah, a walrus.
A walrus.
Like that guy from the Mythbusters, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a good thing. You know,
that was the video streaming live.
When they got a good moustache like that, you can kind of hold them in place.
Exactly.
You know? There is such a great line in Deep Throat, one of the most classic scenes ever, where this guy is going down on this woman. And she's lying back in this chair.
And he's like, she's not a woman.
And no, even better than that.
Okay.
And she kind of lifts his head up and she says to him, do you mind if I smoke while you eat? And he just goes, And she kind of puts his head back down and lights a cigarette.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
That was the other movie streaming. Yeah.
We're doing
thank
some
God
live
you didn't smoke through her vagina, like the
absolutely.
Thai woman.
We're
like,
acting
would
out
you
yeah,
mind
by
to
by
see?
Way,
yeah. That's really
that's
weird.
A thing, hey?
It's a thing. It's a thing.
So
cancer in your vagina might be causing, not a good idea.
So next up is Casper and the team, and a wonderful day on Cliff Central after that. Thank you so much, Dr. T. You fit in. You are more than welcome to come back anytime.
You are a unicorn.
In fact, I think we are going to call on you quite regularly because I think that would be really awesome.
Anything for you, Jonte.
Claudine, that was just awesome.
Yeah, we've renamed him John Ty. We need to get that out there.
I thought it's Jay Sizzle now.
Sorry.
It's Jay Fizzle.
Faye Jizzle.
It's Yoda of the Yoni. That's it. It's done. He's the master of all pussies, and that's it.
So,
Claudine, thank you.
And we have discovered some absolutely awesome new healing work that I will tell you about next week because we're running out of time.
And you also
that
need to
phenomenal
tell
phenomenal in releasing sexual tension, genitals for men and women, and enhancing sensation in the most amazing way.
So, and John, you're having also dolphins and sensuality workshop in Mozambique, most likely.
I'm coming to that.
Yes.
Soon as we have the dates, we will let you know, because that is just spectacular.
Oh, just hashtag amazing. No beer star.
Yeah, it's not alarming to me at all that my 4-year-old niece asked me this week she wants to go ride a dolphin.
Just yes, so. Exactly. And dolphins are, by the way, bisexual, and they rape young males as well. Yeah, they're very aggressive, apparently.
It's been quite an interesting week in the world, because two of our amazing performers have left.
That's terrible.
The world, David Bowie.
I love him.
And my quick play has disappeared. Dunk, where are you? Because the quick play has disappeared because something else is sitting there. We have lost our song, which is a David
And you can Bowie. Tell everybody. I don't know. I'm just trying to kind of work it out.
So that is awesome.
Empty space.
Yes, empty space.
The vocal stylings of Tamar Garan seeing you through the weekend.
Exactly, yeah. You know what? Song. You know what? After doing a little thing in Gareth's show, I think maybe I'll go for it. You know,
Major Tom to ground control.
That's exactly what we are really playing. Really? My favorite Bowie song. So what I'd love to hear from you in the week, and we got such amazing emails and messages from our listeners,
stop it the dirty touches, photos, by the way.
No, don't tell him to stop the dirty
Okay, not the penises.
Okay, now there's a reload. Now there's a black chick in the 4G.
Yeah, you're not interested in them. But it's really awesome. Chicks. So thank you for the message. I want to hear the weirdest place that you have pleasured yourself in.
Mm. Okay, I have really cool stories for next week.
So that's what we want to hear. So next week is all about self-pleasuring. Why self-pleasuring instead of masturbation? Why is that an important distinction? And all sorts of wonderful things.
I'm loving
that's
it.
Lovely, hey?
We wish you all so much pleasure.
Thank you. Ta-ta. Being it real on cliffcentral.com.